going on, guys? Welcome back to the Gaelic Gridiron Podcast, the show for American football fans of all shapes and sizes, supporters of all teams across Ireland, the UK, and around the world. Really, we do indeed have listeners all around the world, and it was great to see and talk to some of them in Munich yesterday, where I am just back from. Jimmy English here, joined as usual by Kevin Kelly and Twist. And Kev, you were supposed to be in Munich with me, but unfortunately, due to logistical issues, do you want to tell everyone what happened, or will we leave it at that?
No, I mean, look, I don't know why we live in a world where we have two different time systems. I'm just going to leave it at that. We won't say much.
There's only one time system, the right time system, military time.
Yeah, that's so, what it should be.
To clear up what we're talking about, Kevin was due to join me in Munich yesterday for the Giants and Panthers in the Allianz Arena, and booked his flight to land in Munich at 9 o'clock in the morning to leave from Dublin at around 6 a.m. Only realized when he went to check in that he in fact booked his flights for 6 p.m., so 6 in the evening as opposed to 6 in the morning. So, we got there. We got some good content out, Kev. So no worries. How you doing anyway, man? You all good? You
have recovered? Yeah, good. Yeah, I feel like a bit of an idiot on that one. But I've never made a mistake like that. So definitely kicking myself. But looked like it was a good time. And definitely good to see that you got some good footage there and good content. So.
Yeah, and we'll dig into the Panthers and Giants game in a few minutes. But first, massive shout out to the NFL in Germany for hosting us and for putting on a fantastic weekend overall. And it's just, I mean, obviously we know that there's a really, really passionate fan base of NFL fans on the continent and in Germany. But just to see that on display was great, and looking forward to getting back there as a tourist, but also for future NFL games in the next couple of years. Twist, good win for our Steelers yesterday, and we got a major scalp against the Commanders. You must be buzzing today.
Yeah, we should have put it away earlier than we did, but like a win over the Red Hot Commanders is, you know, you can't say no to that. You know, an amazing catch by Pickens, an unfortunate fumble by Warren, and then Mike Williams making his debut with a go-ahead touchdown. Like, what's more than that? And then, of course, there's the awful, awful Russell Wilson dance in the midfield once the game is over.
But I think we can let him away with that, considering that he was instrumental in that win. And I think...
He didn't let Juju away with dancing. Why are we letting Russell Wilson away with dancing?
Because he's Mr. Unlimited, you know?
Mr. Unlimited.
We have to admit, though, that Russell Wilson, I'll be the first to put my hand up, and I have said this multiple times, but I'm taken aback by how instrumental he has been in unlocking the Steelers' offensive potential. I mean, George Pickens has just come into his own as he's really fulfilled his potential as one of the top receivers in the NFL with a half-decent quarterback throwing him in the ball. And just on that Mike Williams touchdown, and we'll come back to it in a while, I could have sworn Wilson was throwing that ball away, and then out of nowhere, it turned into a touchdown. So
the way he threw it looked like it was a throwaway, but obviously he knew what he was doing. I mean, we'll touch on the game a little bit more, but I'm still sticking with my original point of, unless Russell can win divisional games in the AFC North, he's not Mr. Unlimited. And that's what's coming up next.
We're gonna find out next Sunday. Steelers Ravens, the first game in that AFC North stretch for the Steelers. Let's start, though, with the, I suppose, the most relevant game yesterday for fans listening. And there were some Irish in attendance at the game. There was even on the flight over and the flight back, there were a couple of NFL jerseys dotted around. The Panthers getting the best of the Giants in Germany yesterday afternoon. The game went to overtime, and I swear I was standing there freezing, couldn't feel my feet going. I swear to God, if this goes to overtime... And lo and behold, Gueneau made the kick and sent it to extra time. Kev, you could have been in the stadium watching the game. You ended up being at home. Give us your thoughts on the Panthers really surviving the Giants and getting the win.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not really sure how the game was as tight as it was, because the I don't know what you thought just from being there. The Giants just didn't look any way productive. Like, the Panthers did look productive at times, and they looked like they were a good functioning offense, whereas the Giants just, like, Daniel Jones is throwing airmail after airmail to Malik Nabers, and you can see him getting upset. You can see Nabers getting frustrated and being like, "Where's these balls going?" Like, he's in wide open space. So, like, I was surprised how tight that game was, even down the stretch. And I am glad that the Panthers came out on top, because I would have felt really bad, like, for them to have been kind of on top pretty much the whole game, and then for them to go and lose it, you know.
What really stood out to me yesterday was the confidence on display from Bryce Young. It really seemed like he came into his own a lot more. There was a little bit of a swagger about him. He threw some good balls. I mean, I think the game started off really well. They had a good opening drive. And to be honest with you, I kind of stopped paying attention after a while, because I was writing an article on the possibility of an NFL game here in Ireland, which we'll talk about later on. But Kev mentioned it there, Twist. Daniel Jones, in comparison to Bryce Young, just night and day between their performances.
Definitely. I think, like, yes, the Panthers did outplay the Giants, but Daniel Jones also lost it for the team. There were several key plays where he just couldn't complete a basic pass, like the flea flicker.
I saw that live. That was one of the plays I did pay attention for, and he had all the time in the world to throw that pass. But it's ended up taking the sack on his blind side.
When you pull out the flea flicker, you've seen something in the opposing defense. You know the gap is there. And when you go back and you watch the replay of it, as soon as that ball is thrown back to him, he's got two wide receivers over the middle, wide open. All he has to do is release the ball down in there, and instead he takes a 10-yard sack.
Yeah.
It's like he's blind for everyone other than Nabers. Like, that's a bad habit. You know, it's the old jokes of, like, Matt Eli when he was the Giants, like, you know, so-and-so's over there, just throw the ball over there, like, you know, let's go, like, let's just hook the ball over that way and hope just someone can jump up and grab it. You know, you can't play that type of, you know, football against a team, even a team that's not as great as the Panthers. But, like, the Chuba Hubbard going out and grounding that ball and pounding it through the Giants defense, like, he's almost top five in the league for yards.
He had a great game yesterday.
And you give a quarterback, a running back like that, who they've recently signed up to a long-term deal, you've got to give him the confidence. And, you know, he's got that ability to, you know, I can play, I've got the running game to lean on. And Chuba Hubbard helped him do that. And, like, even seeing, like, Bryce Young on the sideline after the win, like, jumping up and down, like, happy and excited, his confidence is back.
Yeah.
I think you're right, there is a little bit of swagger there. And we'll see where he goes next week, you know, and continue on for the rest of the season. But I think his time off behind Andy Dalton, getting the confidence of having a good ground game with him behind him, has helped him immensely, or should help him immensely. I don't want to say he's back just yet.
He probably doesn't have much of an option. Like, he probably was thinking to himself, like, this is my chance now. When Dalton got that hand injury, like, he probably was thinking to himself, this is my opportunity. If I blow it now, that's it. Like, it could be potentially the time where he's like, my time in the NFL is up nearly. So it is good to see him come out on the other side and pick up a couple of wins here now. And, you know, even if he doesn't have many more wins going through the rest of the season, you know, he's shown that he's capable of doing it with not much weapons around him and not much of a offensive line. So I think he's proved himself more than most people thought he would, which is good. But yeah, I think he just was put under pressure there.
Is it fair to say that the Giants' mistakes had a part to play in the Panthers emerging victorious? Yeah, Daniel Jones' interception, which as soon as that ball was batted up in the air, everyone in the stadium knew it was getting picked off. And then the Giants, the drive down the field in the final 2 minutes and score the game-tying field goal to send it to overtime, receive the opening kickoff and immediately fumble the ball. And that's a game over at that stage. So they really shot themselves in the foot. And it could even be a case that we've seen the last of Daniel Jones as the Giants starting quarterback, Twist.
I mean, he should have been gone. If it wasn't for last week, he should have been gone already. I'd say he's going to survive the rest of the season. I'd say once they're officially eliminated from the playoffs, you might see Tommy DeVito cycled in for a few games just to get him reps, see if, like, what he had last year is anyway improved. But that big of a contract, you kind of want to be 100% sure before you pull the trigger, because that's a lot of dead money to leave on the books.
What do you reckon, Kev?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't really know where the Giants go from here. You know, you got to look now at Brian Daboll as well, because, you know, he's the one ultimately making these calls every week. He's the one that's continuing to put faith in Daniel Jones. And, you know, you're kind of sitting here thinking, when's the penny going to drop? And when are they just going to start to do something different? You know, other teams have done different things. Andy Dalton came in the Panthers, and, you know, immediately, like, obviously now the Browns is a bit different, but, you know, they were forced into a situation where you bring in a new quarterback. Give somebody another chance and see where you go from here. I don't understand what's going on there in New York.
Well, I can certainly tell you that listening to Brian Daboll's press conference in the immediate aftermath yesterday, he was not a happy man. And there were several pointed questions from the Giants press corps about Daniel Jones's future. And he was very noncommittal. I think that the line he kept rolling out was, we'll evaluate the tape and keep moving forward. So that's a kind of bog standard answer for, I'm not telling you anything. But the Giants-Panthers game was one of several games that was decided by a field goal yesterday, made or not made. The Chiefs, Kev, escape with a win against the Kev. Twist is shaking his head here. Another questionable call. I mean, those Chiefs coming through the middle of that line to block the kick by the Broncos, you know, there was definitely some sort of leveraging going on there, you have to think. And I was watching that game on Red Zone in Germany, and the whole place let out a roar of disappointment when that field goal was blocked.
Yeah, look, I mean, I fear for the Chiefs in a way where I'm like, you know, you're getting all this luck now. You're getting all these like squeaky wins. But like, what happens when you do get to them divisional games, the championship games? Like, you're going to be put under more pressure, and you're not going to have the ability to just pull off these jumps through the middle and stuff like that. So, you know, let them have it. At this point, you're like, they're 9-0. Like, what do we do from here? It's not going to change the race to the playoffs for them. So I think it's just like for everyone else now, it's just like, you're playing the Chiefs, assume it's a loss. I think that's just how you have to look at it at the minute.
What do you think, Twist? Do you agree with that, or do you think that there is a team out there that can beat the Chiefs in the regular season, even if everything is? I mean, everything went right for the Broncos yesterday. They played extremely well. They had a great game, a couple of good touchdowns. Bo Nix looked good, and yet ultimately, when it came down to it, the Chiefs got the rub of the green.
Yeah, I don't think like not a lot of people thought the Broncos had a chance to win it. And once they set up for that go-ahead field goal, everyone thought, this is it, they've finally done it. As Kev said, I mean, like, if you want to go undefeated, let them. Like, it doesn't matter if you go undefeated. The Patriots are undefeated, and the Giants beat them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your record is in the regular season. It's what happens, what matters is who lifts the Lombardi at the end of the year. But I think, like, there's so much, like, luck on the Chiefs, you know, so much eyes on the Chiefs, especially Mahomes being caught in the hot mic asking the ref to let him know when a defender is near his blindside tackle or him, you know, on the sideline. Just picked up asking a referee to give him a warning. Like, you know, it's like, you can't be doing that. Like, and he was mic'd up, like, the sidelines where everyone picked it up. Even the commentators coming and going, yeah, Patrick, we'll let you know, start laughing. But right now, like, what team could beat them? Everyone I've seen online now is saying Christmas Day is the day the Chiefs will lose.
It's all coming down to that. I mean, before the Steelers played the Commanders, I wasn't so sure. And look, yesterday wasn't the perfect game by any means. But we, like, the Commanders were one of the hottest teams coming into last night, yesterday evening. And the Steelers bet them. And the Steelers, Jaden Daniels had his worst game of his young career so far in terms of completion percentages and touchdowns. So I'm starting to believe the hype that the Steelers could be a potential AFC contender.
I mean, they're looking like it, but, you know, it comes down to this week of running against divisional opponents. But, like, touching on, like, squeaky wins, Kev, the return of the New York Jets, Sam Bradford.
Darnold.
Darnold. I keep saying Bradford.
Every week.
Darnold.
Every week, Twist.
Yeah, every week. Just keep in your toes.
I'll tell you this. I drank one less beer than the Vikings scored points yesterday. So if that tells you anything, it was not a good day to be watching Vikings football. Look, I mean, something needs to be done with the offense. Sam just, like, he's throwing like somebody who is uber confident, and then he's just getting picks left, right, and center. Like, just like balls that you're just like, you have Aaron Jones on a check down play. Just throw the ball, get 8 yards. Like, I don't understand this, like, throwing for 12, 14, 18, 20 yards and just getting picked off every time because it's not working. Look, we were lucky yesterday. We were one of the only teams that got lucky that we gave away 3 turnovers and didn't lose. You know, you look at Joe Flacco and the Colts, like, they had the same similar situation. 3 turnovers, but, you know, the Bills are a team that they're gonna make you pay for that. Luckily, the Panthers and Mac Jones didn't have that ability, but that came down on our defense. What's that?
Jaguars.
Yeah, that's how unmemorable the game was. I genuinely was there watching. I couldn't believe what I was watching, really.
It did seem to be very tight. I only saw a snip of it, really. But, I mean, for a team that's been playing as well as the Vikings have, with such a high-powered quarterback and receiver combination.
I don't even think it was tight, though. Do you know, obviously, you look at the stats, you look at the numbers on the scoreboard, and you're like, yeah, it was a close game. And, it did come down to, that last drive. But realistically, it wasn't a close game. We outpaced them in every asset of the game, other than the turnover. Well, now, obviously, Mac did turn it over 2 other times in the last quarter. And, you know, fair play to our defense for standing up to that. But, you know, that's not going to happen every week. You're not going to have that luck on your side. So, you know, something needs to be done. Something needs to be cleaned up, whether it's just Kevin O'Connell reeling Sam Darnold in and being like, listen, you've got to be more disciplined in how you throw this ball, because we're not going to have this luck on our side every week.
And your AFC counter, your NFC North rivals, the Lions, also had a very, very close win against the Texans. I actually watched the highlights of that because I went to watch Sunday in 60. And if anyone from the zone is listening, sincerely go and fuck yourselves, all of you, because your service is just abominable. Not only did the game in 40 from the Steelers keep resetting itself, there are people that just seem to have given up on Sunday in 60. So I will be formulating a strongly worded email in the next couple of days to the customer service help desk. But the Lions, I mean, speaking of teams that almost shot themselves in the foot, Jared Goff, 5 interceptions, and yet they somehow squeezed out a win. And you have to feel like the Texans twist, they threw that game away, really.
When your opposing quarterback throws 5 interceptions and you don't win,
yeah,
that's on your offense. Your defense has done their job. Jared Goff is the first line to throw for 5 or more interceptions in 80 years for the franchise. Like, that's how long it's been since a Lions quarterback was that bad. I will say, it was pointed out that ever since CJ Stroud went over and, pandered or, talked down to Caleb Williams, chin up, kid, you'll be there soon. Like, he's gone on this monumental skid of losses and close games and stuff. His game's just gone off the rails. So I don't know whether it's like karma, listen, you're only a year in the league, you don't act like you're Tom Brady, But I don't know what's wrong with the Texans. I mean, they've gone from perennial playoff contenders to possibly barely squeaking into the wild card if they keep going the way they're going.
But I think the fact that they had to rely a lot on their run game yesterday had something to do with that. I mean, they're one of the teams that's missing their top talent, their top receivers. Nico Collins is out. Stephon Diggs is out. So,
I mean, they're fortunate in their division that, it's the Colts, it's the Titans, and then it's the Panthers as well. They're your three opponents, and, you know, you don't really have much competition coming from the Titans, who are now, I think, 7-2. The Colts are in a similar situation.
No, the Titans definitely aren't 7-2.
Two and seven. I meant. But you know, that's what you're up against. So they'll squeak in, whether it just be by winning their division. But yeah, they've looked like a bang average team since they played the Vikings, honestly. And you know, it just seems like other defenses have just figured them out. Just figured out CJ Stroud.
So with the Lions getting that last second. I mean, as time went down, slotting over that 56-yard field goal, it's starting to really come to light or feel like it's going to be the Chiefs and the Lions in the Super Bowl. I mean, it is, to me, looking that way, unless something monumental happens in the AFC, where the Steelers do, you know, pull off a miracle victory on Christmas Day and do cause a massive upset. I'm certainly thinking, Kev, that it is going to be those two teams in the Super Bowl come February.
I think you're onto something there, but I do think that the Eagles are still they're a shoe in for me. I just haven't seen them the last couple of weeks. Like they've been good, you know. And I think if Sirianni can figure out just like getting the fans back on his side a little bit, even just like even if it's to just get him through this season, they could be well within a Super Bowl run. They're a Super Bowl team. You have Saquon Barkley. You have AJ Brown. Like they are an absolute unit. And Jalen Hurts is only getting better this season compared to what he was at the start of the year. So I'd love to see it either come down to, obviously, I'd love to see the Vikings make a championship game. But, you know, in the end of the day, I could see it being the Eagles and the Lions if it comes down to it. And then either of those teams, I could see taking down the Chiefs.
Eagles and Lions would be a great NFC championship game twist.
It would, I mean, but I think I'm going to hark back to Kev's point from a couple of weeks ago. Like, it doesn't matter who you beat in the regular season. Once you make the postseason, everyone's back to zero.
Yeah.
And it's one and done.
And there's more on the line as well, higher stakes.
The refs aren't going to let you get away with bullshit that you may have got away with in the regular season. I still think, I'm still sticking with my Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl. It's just, I just think that the Packers have the ability to squeak in. If they get into the postseason, I think they'll cause some havoc. I think just the history between the Lions and the Packers might be enough to upset it. Like, even now, obviously the Packers aren't going to be hosting the Lions. The Lions are going to be hosting the Packers once the playoffs happens. But I think if the Packers roll into like Detroit, I think they will pull it out. I don't know. I just have this feeling they would pull it out in the NFC Championship game.
The Lions do have to see. So, like, they have to have Vikings in Detroit, Packers in Detroit. So, like, they have like the easier of the divisional games to come. You know, so like, they're just in a prime position to put themselves as the number one seed in the NFC. And I just don't see any other teams coming close to them at the minute.
No, there's no one else. Like in that division, the Packers have a chance to chase them. The Vikings have a chance to chase them. The Bears are done. Like,
Bears, you know, are cooked, as Kev put it yesterday. Bears are cooked. I think a large part of the reason the Eagles won yesterday as well, or recently, is the fact they were playing the Cowboys yesterday, and we all know how bad the Cowboys are. My Cooper Rush was a disaster, and CeeDee Lamb completely missed a sitter of a touchdown. Because he couldn't see the ball with the windows in Jerry Jones World down there in Dallas.
He forgets the sun exists.
So that was just bizarre. And then, you know,
they're a team that have completely given up playing football. Like, it was evident before this week. It wasn't even just this week. Like, Dak has been paid, and he's like, I've nothing to care about at this point. Like,
yeah.
Now, I would have liked to have seen if they had gone maybe 2-0, 3-0, if they had had a bit more kind of urgency to them. But by God, this has been one of the worst downfalls of a franchise I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
I'm still shocked that, just rolling back to the Bears, that Eberflus still has his job. Like, well, it was like, well, I don't know what he was doing against the Patriots, but like, the game was out of reach. There was no way he could win. And he left Caleb Williams out there. Taking hit.
Eight sacks, I think, Caleb Williams suffered through yesterday.
And just like absolutely getting his rookie like annihilated. My friend Eric in Chicago, every second day, he sends me an Instagram reel of guys calling into Chicago sports radios and just going on these absolute insane rants, going, why has he not been fired? And the latest one was, I hope Caleb Williams' father tweets something so bad that I guess Eberflus fired. I don't know how he's not been fired at this point. Like, he's doing nothing other than destroying the future of the number one draft pick.
Well, I mean, who is it? Caleb Williams' text to the punter now is aging quite well after him saying, you won't be
no punts in Chicago
much this year, lad. And now he only.
There was a very funny clip of the I think it was the Bears offensive coordinator yesterday laughing and joking with Caleb on the sidelines, and he was having no part of it whatsoever. Yeah, so
Caleb is already sick of the Chicago coaching team.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see where he winds
up. One other sideline thing: Deebo Samuel attacking the long snapper on the sideline during the game because they missed the field goal.
A lot of tensions in the league yesterday, lads. If you could pick one top play from the weekend, each, and I know I have a couple in mind myself, but Chris, I'll go to you first and get your number one kind of top moment from the weekend just gone.
Non-Steelers, it's Baker Mayfield, stiff arm, and Nick Bosa all the way to the sideline and throwing on 4th and 7 and completing it. Just like making him look like a child. All Bosa had to do was like fall down holding, like go dead weight, and he would have pulled Baker down. But Baker used those anti-Trump powers and kept Bosa away. Just kept him away enough to get that pass. Obviously Steelers pick is the touchdown to Pickens.
Like, yeah, Pickens' contortion midair. When I saw that, I couldn't believe it. Absolutely. Yeah,
that was unreal.
Insane. Yeah,
non-Steelers, it's Baker Mayfield, 4th and 7 completion, making Nick Bosa look like a child.
Kev?
For myself, I'd say not that there was much to report from the Vikings game, but I would say, you know, either the Lions kicker, he iced that game, like fair play to him, you know, like from a guy who's coming from the XFL, like to do what he's done has been really impressive. And, you know, you have to give him kudos there. I think Mike Williams' touchdown, coming in, first touchdown, you know, after just like the, he came from the Jets, right? Like after all, came that, from the all Jets, that situation yeah. with the Jets, like I'm just sure that Aaron Rodgers is kind of kicking himself a little bit because he just has his receiving core and he kind of just didn't care for Mike Williams. And now you just go and see he does have the talent and he does still have it. So that was one of my plays. And then I think just kind of side note was Cam Bynum doing the ray gun celebration after the interception. That was pretty funny.
So we are and not to timestamp this podcast because it is intended to be listened to at any time you wish, but we like to keep it fresh and do like to get our content out as soon as possible after the NFL's action. We are recording this on Monday afternoon for the first time ever. I think it's usually been a Tuesday, but it's great to start getting these podcasts out on a Monday while things are fresh in our mind and while people are still talking about the games just gone. And tonight on Monday Night Football, we have the Miami Dolphins going against the Los Angeles Rams. Two teams who have kind of been on a bit of a surge lately, Twist. We saw that with the return of Tua that things have picked up a little bit offensively. The Rams somehow keep finding a way to win. Who do you fancy in this one?
I think I fancy the Rams. Like, they went from being a team that was looking to possibly sell off, like Cooper Kupp and other pieces, to resurging just before the trade deadline and like making a case that they're still a team to be feared in the NFC. I just think the experience of the Rams are going to like beat the Dolphins at this point. Yeah, Tua's back and like, you know, yay, hooray and whatnot. But like he's an above average quarterback. He's not an elite quarterback.
No.
You know, he's got some weapons around them, like, but I think Kev said it like last week or before, this Dolphins team is not going to the Super Bowl even with Tua under center.
Not for a long, long time.
Well, it's actually funny.
I was having a conversation with someone yesterday about Mac Jones and people, and just on the note of Tua. Tua was in the same quarterback room at Alabama as Mac Jones and Jalen Hurts. And out of the three of them, on a little tangent here, I appreciate that, but bear with me. Out of those three, Jalen Hurts is the only quarterback to win a Super Bowl thus far. And he's the only one who's really emerged as he looks like a bona fide superstar. Not superstar might be too far, but a genuine starter level capability in the NFL.
Well, yeah, I mean, we go back to, like I said, the Eagles do look like an outfit that could potentially go the whole way. I do truly believe that. I mean, after a couple of shaky games, I think they've managed to ship like qu- quite well. But, you know, Jalen Hurts is running that offense, and he's a dual threat quarterback, which, you know, that gives him that little bit of a kind of, just giving more than other quarterbacks, for example, you know. So, yeah, out of them three, by far and away, the most impressive.
So, Kev, you dropped in a couple of matchups that you're looking forward to next week into our group chat before the game. And out of those, Chiefs-Bills looks like it's going to be an absolute cracker.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, like I said, I think that could be a rematch of the AFC Championship game this year. I do think that as well. Like, you know, I haven't seen a ton of the Bills. I haven't really watched a ton of them. But, like, I mean, you got to look at Josh Allen's numbers, and he's flying. Like he doesn't really have a massive offense around him either, which is why I think it's more impressive. You know, I think this week he was without Amari Cooper, so that's another kind of point where I'm like, he's really shining for an MVP spot if he continues to play this way.
Twist, what other games are jumping out to you as ones to watch for the week ahead?
Obviously, Steelers Ravens, without a doubt. Like, that's going to be my, like, watch every, not even going to watch anything else, just
if
that.
If that game is on Sky Sports, I'm going to be so annoyed.
It's going to be on Sky Sports. Sky Sports, you're going to look to go, let's put it on.
The Commies and the Eagles as well. That's going to be another massive
match. Yeah, I was going to say, like, the Commanders and Eagles, Thursday Night Football.
Coming off that loss to you guys yesterday, you know, the Commanders are going to, and like, it's in Philadelphia, I believe, so. You know, that's going to be a tough week for them to go back to back to pretty hard hitting defenses, you know. So it could be the start of maybe a little bit of a fall off for the Commanders, but they could also bounce back and really start to take charge in the AFC West East? East. NFC East.
NFC East.
Jeez, I'm all over the shop.
Yeah. NFC East. Any more matchups, guys, we're looking forward to, or Twist?
I mean, like, there's not really, like, just, like, you know, obviously there's games that will have impact on, like, you know, the standings and stuff like that, but there's not, like, must-see. I think worst game of the week is going to be the Saints-Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's going to be the stinker of the week. So, like, sorry if you're a fan of either of those teams, just watch something else. Go to church.
Don't forget as well that if you are in the Loudmead or North County Dublin area, that we are doing our first ever NFL Game Watch. In under 2 weeks, it's going to be the Weavers Bar and Venue on West Street in Drogheda. We're going to have two live games, Red Zone, drink deals, food, plenty of food, American style food. We're trying to rustle up a few prizes at the minute, so there might be some cool giveaways as well going on there. And you get to meet myself, Twist, and Kevin in person, which is looking me. That's what it's all about, really, isn't it? Is meeting the Gaelic Gridiron crew. Like, it's going to be great.
That's the consolation prize.
The consolation prize. No, really looking forward to doing our first live event for Gaelic Gridiron. So do make sure, if you are listening to this podcast and you're interested in coming along and you want more details, do reach out to us and tell your mates, and we'll see you there. Just finally, guys, to bring it back to Germany, and this kind of ties into the future of American football in Ireland. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, had something very interesting to say on NFL Network yesterday ahead of the game. He was discussing the NFL's plans for international expansion, looking at different locations for international games next year, going up as far as 8 games played outside of the United States next year. And on that list, he quietly, subtly dropped in that the NFL is looking at Ireland. Now, look, this isn't news. Really, we've all known he's been dropping clickbait worthy little notes every couple of weeks at this stage, but it was just interesting to see him reference it, Kev, in the context of next year and not 2026, as many of us were kind of expecting it to be. Like, we know it's coming, but we all thought it was going to be 2 years, but now it could be next year.
Yeah, I'm over it, to be honest. I think just announce it. Honestly, you know, it's been week after week where we're getting just this same old, like, oh, dropping Ireland in the conversation every couple of weeks, and you're just like, just announce it. Just announce it, whether it is 26, 27, just announce it so that we can get excited and we can actually mark it on our calendars and get, like, start drumming up a lot of support for it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I could see them slotting it in next year. You know, prime, like a prime game would be like the Steelers play the Packers next year. That'll be a prime game to bring to Ireland.
A lot of Packers fans in Ireland.
They also, I believe, just played the Jets the year after. I think he's played Jets next year as well. That's also like a prime game to slot in because the marketing rights for both teams. I just draw back to like when Spain was announced. Like it wasn't like the following year, if I remember correctly.
If it is next year, and it is when I think it might be, and what I've heard on the grapevine is September week 3 next year. That's you need a full year to prepare for an NFL game.
Well, just the branding of it, the marketing of it as well. And you've got to think that the NFL would already have moving parts in place in terms of hotels, in terms of conference centers, all of that jazz. So, you know, and if there was any sort of talk about it, somebody would have leaked it. Somebody at this point would have. So, you know, if it's going to be announced, it's going to be announced. If it's not, it's going to be 26 or 27, and they'll announce it at the end of the year.
Personally, I would prefer 2026 just in terms of doing it properly and not rushing it. And having seen how well the German NFL marketing team and the German NFL operations team, I mean, that was run like clockwork yesterday in terms of their promotion, you know, and all the festivities that go along with having an NFL game in a different country outside of the States. And I just don't think that what we now 10 months is enough time to set that up properly in Ireland. You want to be marketing it already, as you say, Kev.
Yeah, I think like 2026 is optimistic.
Mm.
I think 2027 is the perfect time.
Yeah.
I'm happy to
wait if they do it right.
Yeah, and 2026 would be great. You know, if that you'd find out soon. I think because the Steelers are so heavily marketed as being the team to play here versus whoever it is, whatever week it is, it makes sense to wait to 2027 because that's 30 years since they played in Ireland against the Bears. And that would be a huge marketing thing. Like, it's 30 years since the NFL was played in Ireland, the Steelers versus the Bears. Now it's the Steelers versus whoever they slotted. If the Bears happen to be on our schedule in 2027, even better.
Yeah.
30-year rematch.
Crow Park or Aviva, what would you prefer?
I think it'd be the Crow Park personally, based on what the Steelers have been doing with the GEA and building that relationship.
Preferred, he said, not what.
Well, I prefer the Aviva Stadium hands down because it's more modern. It's still not great. I mean, compared to some of the stadiums I've been in recently, for the NFL, I mean, Tottenham Hotspur just takes the biscuit. It's so nice. I mean, the press box in Tottenham Hotspur is carpeted, lads. So. Then you have
Croker is a great spot.
I'm not even sure there is a press box in Croker, to be honest with you.
Well, what I was going to say is like Croker is a great spot, but you have to remember Croker also has the hill.
Yeah.
So
there's a whole
section with no seats.
It would be unbelievable. It would be absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, there is the bonus of like the NFL fans in the hill would be unreal. The Hill 16 Army would not be happy about it.
Anywhere else. You'd never see it anywhere else. And I think that would be a great attraction.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But I think the Hill 16 Army would be pissed about it because they're very protective over the hill.
They'd have to put in seats. They're not going to have Americans sitting on concrete blocks and standing for 3.5 hours.
What are we talking about? What do you think the sleepers, the nosebleed seats in Philly Stadium are the link?
Oh, yeah.
They're those like concrete slabs. You just sit on them.
I think it's going to be very interesting, but I mean these are logistical questions that haven't even been figured out yet.
Well, they're not going to touch the hill. There's no way Crow Park will let them seat the hill.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see this play out and see if Goodell drops any more hints in the coming.
Probably will for the next 10-12 months. Go Ireland, Ireland, Ireland. You know,
typically international games are announced at Super Bowls as an international media press conference, and that's where Madrid for next year was announced back in February. So what I think
Ireland
they'll
will
do
be trending on Super Bowl Sunday just because Goodell will say Ireland.
Twist will be on Twitter just absolutely hammering the hashtags.
Yeah, just hashtag Ireland every single post, underlined is Ireland, Ireland, Ireland. Just so they get it out there. Get that clickbait going for all of us like NFL fans over here in Ireland.
Well, whenever it does happen, it's gonna be absolutely insane. So definitely looking forward to that. Lads, that's enough of us talking crap about American football, I think, for now. Guys, thank you very much for listening. We appreciate the support as always. Do feel free to give us a shout if you have any American football related questions or just want to have a conversation or a chat about anything we talked about here. And don't forget to subscribe. If you're listening to this on Spotify, drop us a 5-star rating. If you're watching this on YouTube, do give us a thumbs up. And yeah, follow us on social media. And lads, I will talk to you soon.
Let's go, Pens.